Of where we're all coming from. I'm prepared for death because I don't believe in it. I think it's just getting out of one car and getting into another.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another installment of Talk More Talk, a solo Beatles video cast. I'm Joe Mayo, and you might know me from my YouTube channel, Mean Mr. Mayo. We've got a belated show here, in a way, thinking about George on what would have been his 81st birthday, which was several days ago, back on February 25th. We're doing this a little late, but we didn't want to forget the occasion, so we're doing a George Harrison show today. And I want to introduce my co-host before we get underway. And of course, first we have the queen of all George Harrison backdrops. I can see his albums there shining. And she has a couple of books out by now. I can even remember the titles, but I got them written down just in case. Songs We Were Singing, Guided Tours through the Beatles' Lesser Known Tracks, Fandom and the Beatles. And also, if you want to check in about some information for Michael Jackson, you got All That's Left to Know About the King of Pop, which is Michael Jackson FAQ. That one I did not have written down, just in case. Right? It's Kid O'Toole.
Hello. Hey, Kid. Hello, Joe, Tom, Ken. Good to see you all, and good to see you all out there, everybody out there.
Okay, next up, I have my friend, of course, who helps me on my movie channel with some movie stuff. He also does a Paul McCartney-centric, as I like to say, podcast called Two Legs, talking about Tom Hunyadi. Hey, Tom.
Hello, Joe, Ken, Kit. We're back. Feels good. And let me tell you, I mean, we had a great time at the fest, and obviously we missed you, Kit, but we understand why you weren't there, but we really had a great time there, and thank you everybody that you know, reached out to us, said hi, and showed up for our panel. We really appreciate it.
All righty. And of course, last but not least, we have someone who I've been listening to a lot with his syndicated radio show lately. I've been listening to a lot of shows. The radio show is Every Little Thing, and this man, of course, is always busy. He has a podcast called Things We Said Today, and on YouTube he has a channel, Ken Michaels Radio, and that tells you who I'm talking about, the one and only Ken Michaels. Hey, Ken.
Hey, Joe, Tom, Kit. You know, Kit, her backdrop looks like what my floor looks like in this room.
Yeah, well, I got, yeah, it looks familiar in a way, but
yeah.
Right behind is the greatest album ever made, All the Way to the Right, which I'm also displaying here on my t-shirt.
Nice.
If you at the fest got to see me wear this for the first time. Yep. Break it in.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, it was nice.
Now, that's a bootleg shirt, right? That's not, is that an official release, George Harrison release there, Ken?
My wife wanted it for me.
Ooh.
I plead innocent of all charges. I don't know anything about about that. Well, our show is going to be discussing our favorite lyrics by George Harrison, which is very hard to do in my case. There's a lot of them I was thinking of. But before we do that, we didn't talk about this before we went on. Ken, do you have some news for us today? Usually you do. Stupid question.
I got news.
That's a stupid question.
What you should do is the most recent things we said today, which was all news, take that, insert it in this show, and that's it.
Oh, boy. Grab yourself a drink, some people, but the rest of you stay here.
Those of you who watch things we said today or listen to it, a lot of this will be similar, but there's a few new things that I've added. First of all, we have to acknowledge Yoko Ono's birthday. She turned 91. God bless her. February 18th. And as we also just mentioned, George Harrison would have been 81 had he lived on February the 25th. We note the passing on February 22nd of John Duff Lowe, the English pianist who played with the Quarrymen at the age of 16 when he appeared on the very first recordings made by the group in a recording studio. The two songs, That'll Be the Day and In Spite of All the Danger, which were both released on the Beatles Anthology Volume 1. And Duff, as he was known to his friends, knew Paul McCartney since 1953, and Paul invited him to join the band in 1958. Duff sold the recordings to Paul in 1981 for £12,000, and Paul had the songs remastered for inclusion in the anthology, and Duff later went and played on the Quarrymen album called Open for Engagements, of which he and Rod Davis were the only members to have played in the Quarrymen in the 1950s. And while Duff was not an original member of the Quarrymen, he toured with Colin Hanton, Rod Davis, and Len Gary at Beatle events around the world until 2017. John Duff Lowe was 81. Kind of an important name, not just because he was in the Quarrymen, but if it wasn't for him holding on to that recording of That'll Be the Day.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think he could have held out for a couple more pounds from Paul here. I mean, 12,000 kind of seems a little light.
That's what I was thinking.
Well, if I was Paul, I'd be kind of furious. I mean, what gives him the right? He owned it all these years. He just didn't give it back to any of the members.
No.
Not only that, but Paul very often in concert before he plays, in spite of all the danger, story about that.
Oh, yeah.
And it went around to each one of them, and John Duff Lowe was the last one to have it, and he held on to it for like 20 plus years. But sad to hear John Duff Lowe passing away. The biggest news about the Beatles, which you all know about, received a ton of publicity, is that director Sam Mendes, known for his work on the films No Time to Die, American Beauty, Skyfall, and 1917, is partnering with Sony to work on four biopics, one for each of the Beatles, done from the perspective of each Beatle. It marks the first time that the band's company, Apple Corps, has given permission for the group's life story and music to be used in a scripted film about them. Pippa Harris, who will produce the films, told Deadline that Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr have given their blessings to work on the four films. She says it's a testament to his creative brilliance and powers of persuasion, that meaning Sam Mendes, that Paul McCartney, Ringo Starr, Sean Lennon, and Olivia Harrison responded with such warmth and enthusiasm as soon as he spoke with them. Harris also said that Mendes will have no restrictions on what he depicts from the band's members' lives. What is truly exciting is for Sam to have the freedom to delve into the lives of each of the Beatles with nothing off limits and no sense of the band wanting him to tell a particular authorized version of their rise to success. So, with that news being so major, what do you think about it?
I say, well, let's wait and see, because I know people are always asking me on my channel. They're always saying, well, so what do you think it's going to be? Do you think they're going to, who are they going to get to play the Beatles? What do you think they're going to, what stories are they going to have? It's like they don't know really real particulars yet, do they?
No, he's been decided.
Yeah, I mean, I think Sam Mendes is great. I particularly love 1917, American Beauty. I love Skyfall. Yeah. However, we have something with all four of their perspectives, and that's Beatles Anthology. You know, I know that music bios are hot right now. I get it. But that, you know, you know, we're an odd kind of odd group. You know, we if they're going to take liberties and change things, you know, we're going to give Sam Mendes shit about it. But then again, the interesting thing is that, you know, if they are giving their different perspectives, it will be interesting to see how different things will be in each movie to see, you know, if people have different memories of what happened at a particular time. And I swear to God, if I have to hear Paul's story about not coming to America with the number one again in this movie, I'm gonna.
Well, go crazy. At least it's
on that, do you, Tom?
Yeah, at least it's authorized. I like that. Yeah. You know, so that That's a good thing. And also, of course, I like the idea of a biopic. I mean, whatever it's, or four biopics, or I don't, we don't know exactly what, how this is going to wind up. But for younger people, even though we know the story already and everything, I want to see the younger generations maybe getting into the Beatles, just like some of them got in by listening to the one album, and some of them got in by listening to anthology. They became interested. Maybe this will make a whole new generation of fans.
And I assume this is going to be on streaming. I mean, I don't see how this could
I
possibly, I mean,
heard
all
theatrical
four
originally.
theatrical first.
Yep.
Is it really?
That's what they're saying.
Wow.
And in all fairness, that's what they're saying now, right?
Yeah, I mean, I wonder. I just don't know if all four could
Well,
really
that's
make,
the
I don't
thing.
know.
That's the thing. If like if they make all four together, it'll be more cost effective than make. However, if they do release one, let's say they release the John one first, and if it makes a good, if it makes money,
Yeah.
then they'll release more the others or the next one. However, if they started like say they start with Ringo, and
Oh,
maybe
I don't know what.
it doesn't make money. The whole thing is, I mean, obviously if it makes money, they'll release. I don't think they should release all four at the same time. They
Oh,
should, I think they
no.
should release them separately, maybe 6 months apart. But it'll be interesting to see.
That's not how it's sounding.
Yeah.
I don't
And
understand them.
what
I don't know what the...
that's confusing to me.
Yeah.
Because nothing's been explained yet. It's way too early in the process to even go
Yeah.
in.
Oh,
But
yeah.
is this going to be one film from John Lennon's perspective, his
Right.
story, one from Paul, or is it going to be four films, but you have four actors playing the Beatles and everything is chronological?
I
We
hope so.
three
I
of the four
prefer
different
that.
thinking. Or are they separate to themselves? Are they going to go into the solo years, or is it just strictly the Beatles?
That's gonna be interesting to see
Yeah.
where it all ends. That the whole, again, the whole aspect of it being their perspective, John's perspective, are they going to interweave? I mean, is the person playing Paul in the Paul movie also going to be in the John movie?
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of things that are going to be interesting to see. And where do they end it? Do they end it with the release of, Love Me Do? I mean, do they release it, as Beatlemania starts? Or I mean, end it? So it'll definitely be.
Hopefully they ended at the breakup.
The Beatles. That's what I was wondering.
Do.
But it might be less repetitive. That's a good point, Tom, because it might be less repetitive if they did it like the from different perspectives, but at different points in the Beatles history. That
Well,
could
that's
be
what I'm thinking,
interesting.
but I don't know. Nobody knows. That's what gets me. It's like
Yeah.
it's pointless.
I'm thinking Daniel Radcliffe for John.
Unknown actors, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Unknown actors.
Okay. Well, whatever. By the way, I don't want to belabor this point,
Oh, it's
but
okay.
since it seems to infuriate you, Tom, about the whole thing
It
about.
infuriates me too.
But until the time comes when somebody actually challenges him on this and confronts him what he really means, yeah, all of us.
Yeah.
Okay. I really do think, and this is, I could be wrong. When Paul says they wouldn't come to America unless they had a number one, I think he means they wouldn't tour
I don't
America.
think that's what he.
Not
I think.
we wouldn't go on the Ed Sullivan show until we had.
Right. I went
I
back to
don't think
watch
that.
the Beatles anthology just to see, who said what. Paul did tell that story in the Beatles anthology. A few scenes later, George said, "We were scheduled to come to America anyways." So, I mean, I tend to want to believe, George, because it's factual, right? I mean, it's now we've got evidence that they were coming no matter what.
Okay, but until somebody actually asks him specifically what he's
Right.
talking,
He could have just made a mistake. We don't have to defend Paul. He might have just made a mistake. He's human. He meant, in my opinion, he meant we're not going to even go to America at all until his number one. That's what I think. He also thought that the "I Want to Be Your Man" was the Stones' first number one song. He says that a lot in concert. It was never. It didn't make number one.
No.
"I Want to Be Your Man."
Well, like you said, Tom, we already have the Beatles anthology, and
Yep.
we there are different opinions throughout there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like
Yes.
Elvis. Yeah, the
I
Elvis
always
meeting.
bring up, George Harrison saying, "You mean we played Shea Stadium more than once?"
Right. I mean, that's why we've agreed on that, Ken, in the past, right? That when it comes to their history, they don't always
Yeah,
get it right,
that's for sure.
You
Just,
can't
yeah,
expect memories to be perfect.
that's
And
for sure.
no.
Right.
All right.
More news. I can't believe I forgot to bring this up on my other show. Major news story. Paul McCartney was reunited with his original 1961 violin-shaped Hofner bass guitar, which was stolen in 1972. Paul bought the bass for £30 when the Beatles were doing their residencies in Hamburg, Germany. This was the bass that is featured on early hits like Love Me Do, Twist and Shout, and She Loves You. Paul had asked people at Hofner if they could put on a search for the bass. Both Scott Jones, a journalist, and Hofner executive Nick Wass were determined to track it down. And one email they received was from sound engineer Ian Horn, who said the bass was swiped from the back of his van one night in the Notting Hill section of London in 1972. Actually, Alan Cozen was saying to me, this is while the band was recording Red Rose Speedway. The person who stole it ended up selling it to a landlord of a pub called the Admiral Blake, who passed it down to members of his family. The bass was returned to Paul in December, and it took 2 months to authenticate it. It's estimated to be worth $12.6 million.
Wow. So
I heard about it for several months, and glad to see that it's in the rightful owner.
Mm-hmm. Easy.
Hopefully he didn't have to pay £12,000 to get it.
Well, from what Alan was saying to me, I wish we talked about this on Things We Said Today. The woman of it passed down through this family, and everybody else in the family had passed away except the son. It's actually like the grandson of the first person who got it. And he reported it in the news, but his mother was asking for money from Paul McCartney to give it back.
Sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, several weeks ago, some big news came from Ringo himself in his latest video update. This was the biggest news a few weeks ago, but we haven't had a show for several weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So he revealed that at that moment, he is working on a country album, not an EP. In an interview that Gary Burr gave us right here.
Exclusive.
Yes. Ringo's album will have more of a traditional country sound, not like the more modern country. And Gary has written a song for the album, but couldn't give us the title. In the meantime, coming very soon will be Ringo's next EP called Crooked Boy, produced by Linda Perry. Linda also wrote all the songs, and Ringo's video shows the song titles and lyrics as well. The titles for the EP are Gonna Need Someone, Crooked Boy, February Sky, and Adeline. Ringo also displayed his latest book, Beats and Threads, which illustrates all the drum kits Ringo has used through the years and the clothes he wore in the 60s and 70s. The book is available through juliansauctions.com. And Ringo mentioned in May and June, Ringo and the All-Stars will be on tour. We already mentioned he has 6 dates in Las Vegas. He also added 6 dates since then. And he also plans to do another tour after that in September and October. You can always check Ringo's website for the tab there for concert dates to find out if more shows have been added at ringostar.com. Paul McCartney's 50th anniversary of Ben on the Run, of course, was released on February 2nd with an underdub mix of the album. There were remastered videos made from Mamounia and Helen Wheels in 4K, which you can now watch on YouTube. And Ben on the Run's also available in Dolby Atmos. We should get into the Record Store Day releases.
1 second, Ken. It's funny when you watch Mamounia, the video, Kit, you'll appreciate this. If you watch it, when he's singing about L.A. rain, they're actually showing the city of Chicago.
Is it really?
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
There's a mistake.
Yeah. L.A., Chicago, close enough.
Yeah.
Better straighten things out with Paul when we see him.
Yeah, that's right.
You're our Chicago expert.
That's right.
So Record Store Day is April 20th. The biggest holiday of the year for Tom and Joe, especially.
That's right.
These are the major releases for Beatle fans for that day. There'll be a limited edition. Everything's limited edition. Record Store Day 3 turntable. It is Bluetooth enabled and housed in a Beatle box that includes 4 songs that they performed 60 years ago on the Ed Sullivan Show, which will be on 4 3-inch records. Each record is housed in an outer box with a picture sleeve and poster. The package also includes a Beatles branded carrying case, which holds up to 10 3-inch records. The songs are She Loves You, I Want to Hold Your Hand, Till There Was You, and I Saw Her Standing There. They also did All My Lovin'. I don't know why that wasn't included. All four of the 3-inch singles will be available individually. And I'm figuring these are probably the release versions and not the live versions from the Ed Sullivan Show. George Harrison, both Wonderwall Music and Electronic Sound, will be released as picture discs on Dark Horse Records, and it will start a multi-year partnership between Dark Horse Records and Record Store Day to release limited Zoetrope picture disc pressings of George Harrison's entire studio album catalog. The records are individually numbered in silver foil and include an insert reproducing the original artwork. They say 8,000 units globally. For Ringo Starr, there'll be a black and white marble vinyl 12-inch for Crooked Boy, his next EP, with those four songs that I mentioned before. And the most tantalizing of them all, the John Lennon Mind Games EP. This is a limited edition 4-track 12-inch EP, which will be a teaser for the upcoming box set coming out in June. There'll be two color variants, Luminous Glow in the Dark, 140 colored vinyl, and there'll be 180 black vinyl edition. The tracks are Mind Games, Ultimate Mix, I'm the Greatest, Ultimate Mix, featuring George and Ringo, I Assume a Sin, I'm Sorry, the Ultimate Mix, and You Are Here, Outtake, Take 5. Looking forward to hearing that. And one other thing, the Elton John Caribou album, which will be celebrating its 50th anniversary, will be a 2-LP version on Vivid Blue Sky vinyl. And one of the bonus tracks on Elton's album is his recording of Snookaroo, which, of course, Elton and Bernie Taupin gave to Ringo for the Goodnight Vienna album. If it's what I think it is, for many years has been a bootleg recording of Elton just playing it on the piano as a demo. I have a feeling that's what it is. I'm not sure if it's a full band performance or not. Okay, it's probably just the demo.
I'm going to have to hide my wallet.
Yeah, as you've read that entire thing, Ken, Tom has like been trying to control himself. I've seen you. You've been trying to like keep a straight face the whole time.
I'm adding everything together right now, and it's not pretty.
But how much of that? How much of that are you interested in getting, Tom? All of it? I mean, the Beatles related stuff.
Well, I mean, not the 3-inch. I'm not the Beatles thing. I'm not interested in, but I'm really interested in those picture discs and Queen, when they do All Things Must Pass, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of gnomes on those, on those, the LPs. So, you know,
that's
I know
tempting.
Might be interested. Yes.
That's tempting.
I'm just thinking of the Ringo and the John.
Yeah. I can tell you. Yeah. I mean, the marble on the Ringo one looks fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm hoping, because there's no details about the CD for Crooked Boy, should be out the same time.
Mm. Yep. Mm.
All right. Elliot Mintz's upcoming book will be coming out October 22nd, called We All Shine On, John, Yoko, and Me. It's described as a personal and revealing look at the last 10 years of John Lennon's life, written by the friend who knew them best, publicist and music industry insider Elliot Mintz. Elliot tells the story of his relationship with the couple, which continues to this day with his close friendship to Yoko. And the only question I have about it really is it strictly about John and Yoko? Because Elliot also represented Bob Dylan as well, and so many other famous people. And he's interviewed a lot of people, which you can find on his website. So I hope it covers some of that. I mean, if most of it's John and Yoko, we're not going to complain. But there's more to Elliot's story than just that.
And I'm hoping it puts John these days in a more positive light, because I never thought I'd have to say that. But you know how I feel about that. You know, he went from being a saint, which was, and a martyr, which was kind of extreme. Mm. Admittedly, that's too much. To all of a sudden being, you know, not such a nice guy all the time. Everything about him is so negative to newbies. They just think this guy is just the devil himself. So I think, even though it might be a little biased in the case of Elliot, departments, you know, I don't know, because he was their assistant and everything. I'm just, at this point, I'll take anything to get a little more positivity into the story.
Mm-hmm. You know? Well, you know, no matter what, Elliot's going to be diplomatic about everything that he says.
Yes.
He's professional, you know?
I do think so. Yes, yeah. Indeed. Ken. He does. I think he will be.
I think the world of John and Yoko.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Since we just celebrated the 60th anniversary of the Beatles' arrival in America, here's another 60th anniversary about to be celebrated, the release of the John Lennon book in his own right. This will take place at the Liverpool Museum, the Beatles Museum on Matthew Street on March 22nd. Julian Lennon is one of the many contributors for the show. Another person involved in the event will be Billy Mumy. We all know from Lost in Space.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
And, you know, he was in the Twilight Zone in a few episodes as a little kid.
Very, very interesting. I love that show.
Yeah. Speaking of Julian, he will have a coffee table size book of his photos coming out October 29th this year. Amazon UK describes it as a book by the musician, visionary, and photographer presenting an opulent panorama of unique perspectives from breathtaking landscapes to haunting portraits. This masterpiece not only offers visual splendor, but also provides authentic insights into the artist's world of thought in fascinating texts, a journey of discovery into the diversity of a man who masters both the stage and the viewfinder. I don't know who wrote this, but he ought to be doing publicity for us because this is so glowing, Julian. Okay, but I've seen, at least online, some of his photo exhibits, and he's done some brilliant work.
He's a good photographer. Yeah, he really is.
The nature shots that he's done, mm-hmm. is just, a lot of it's really beautiful and breathtaking. Yeah. Patty Boyd is auctioning off love letters that Eric Clapton wrote to her during the love triangle between them and George Harrison. They're about to be auctioned by Christie's this month, offering an unprecedented look at the beginning of Eric's romance with Patty. Also in the auction are photos of George and Patty together, letters from George to Patty, even a painting that Eric gave to George by Emile Theodore Franzen de Schomburg. The Patty Boyd collection is being auctioned online by Christie's from March 8th to the 21st. The public auction view takes place at Christie's in London from March 15th to the 22nd. A few more very recent things. Three rediscovered cassette tapes that contain music and conversation from the Beatles are being auctioned, made on Ringo Starr's own cassette recorder. This includes clips from the Beatles' 1966 tour of Germany, Japan, and the Philippines. Among the recordings is a demo of Ringo's song, Don't Pass Me By, and the sound of Ringo performing it on the piano. Manager Brian Epstein is also heard discussing how to import valuable goods from Japan to the UK without paying high taxes. Another recording is from the group's first trip to India, where they experimented with traditional instruments. Omega Auctions manager Dan Muscatelli-Hampson said, these tapes are truly a remarkable discovery. Hours of previously unheard material from such a pivotal period will be of huge interest to Beatle experts, fans, and collectors, and the fact that they were made by Ringo himself and contain such intimate scenes with the band from the tour is just incredible. The sale will take place by Omega Auctions on March the 26th. There's actually on YouTube, there's a clip in there from one of the cassettes which has the demo of Don't Pass Me By. It's really brief. It sounds just like what Ringo plays even to this day.
Wow.
And he goes to the piano and he plays it for a few seconds and goes to the front and sings it.
Interesting.
Right?
That's the Philippines. Wouldn't that be amazing if he recorded anything of them trying to get out of
the You hear the Marcos family in the background screaming. David Bedford has been working on a new book with Andrew Phillips called The Beatles, What If? It deals with imagining the world if certain twists of fate had happened, like what if Ivan Vaughan hadn't introduced Paul to John? Wow. What if the Beatles hadn't gone to Hamburg? What if Decca had signed the Beatles? Or what if the Beatles never appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show? The book is due sometime this year, and you can sign up to the book's website to find out more information at thebeatleswhatif.com. Also, Paul will have another photo exhibit for his pictures he took of the Beatles in late 1963 and early 64 that made his recent book, Eyes of the Storm, this time at the Portland Art Museum in Portland, Oregon, September 14th to January 19th. It's also currently being shown at the Chrysler Museum of Art in Norfolk, Virginia, now through April 7th, and will be coming to the Brooklyn Museum May 3rd to August 18th. Just today, Paul, Ringo, and their wives, Nancy and Barbara, were together at Stella McCartney. Stella McCartney unveiled her fashion brand's fall-winter women's wear collection as part of the Paris Fashion Week. Sorry. The McCartney Legacy Volume 2, at the moment, is due out December 10th.
Yay!
You want to hear just a few more things? It's all from about the Beatles kids, real fast.
Oh, my. Well, let's go. I mean, yes, by all means.
Actually, the news on things we said today is much longer. Danny Harrison's most recent album, Inner Standing, was released digitally in October, and it was just released on CD and on vinyl February 12th. There's also supposed to be a 2LP yellow vinyl edition. There's a new video that Danny put out called ICU, the letters ICU. James McCartney is back with a new song called Beautiful, which actually came out digitally on February 23rd. There's a new video for the song, which is also on YouTube. An EP is planned for release later this year. James's music is being produced by someone who's worked with his dad, David Kahn. Sean Lennon's new album, Asterisms, is an all-instrumental album featuring many prominent musicians from the New York area. It was released digitally first on February 16th, and it's now available. It was released March the 1st on CD and LP on Kimura Music. You can hear the entire thing on YouTube. It's really wonderful. It's like a combination of progressive music and very light jazz, something you could hear in a nightclub. A nice intimate setting. Really enjoy what I'm hearing. And Gary Burr, new book, Come Together, as he told us here, exclusive on Talk More Talk fan fiction that's coming out in 2 months. And that's basically it.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks, Ken. Now, what was the show about?
No, that was a lot of news. Well, we've been away for a little while.
We've been away.
Yep.
Yes,
right.
there was a lot of news, and so we're gonna let's just get started, I guess. All right, so we're gonna be discussing some of our favorite George Harrison lyrics, and while doing this, you would think after all these years of loving the Beatles and George solo, I would have realized this already, but it hit me really harder than ever. I said, this guy had a lot of good lyrics. I mean, he could write lyrics, you know? I mean, I always thought so, but really, I mean, he was really deep and really committed to writing good lyrics, you know? So I was having a hard time, but I did find some songs that I wanted to pick. I don't know how lengthy my co-hosts here have theirs. I have one that's kind of lengthy. Most of them are not too lengthy. I don't have the whole song all the time, but I have some good ones. I figured what we're going to do is, since we're each going to pick five songs and sets of lyrics, I figured we'd go around, you know, one at a time, five rounds, so to speak, you know. So for the first one, I'm going to pick Tom to start us off for the very first one. Tom, what's your first set of George lyrics?
Well, you know, I know we labeled this best, the lyrics, but I mean, for me, they're my favorite. Some of my favorites.
Well, that's what I thought, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're not necessarily my favorite songs, but the lyrics have meant something to me through my life, you know. And first one I picked was pretty much the chorus of That's What It Takes. I love the up... you know, the positivity of it. I mean, the caution of it. I mean, if that's what it takes, then I got to be strong. Don't want to be wrong. If that's what it takes, you know, the closer I get into that open door. I want to be sure if that's what it takes. I mean, you know, I just love what that means. And probably maybe it means something different to you know, each individual when something like that occurs. But I do like the, you know, the caution of it. And, you know, in a way it's, you know, I think we've kind of been in that situation, right? Where we're not 100% sure. Maybe we're second guessing ourselves into getting a situation we're not 100% sure about. So for that's a, you know, a set of lyrics that I've always enjoyed from George Harrison.
I agree. I didn't think of that one, but I remember when I first heard it, the whole album. I love Cloud Nine, but boy, when I heard that one, it just got me right away with that opening. Those opening lines. All right. Kit, you're up next.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I love that song. I think that's one of his more underappreciated tracks. So I'm so glad you picked that one, Tom. This is a song that also it's not a definitely not underappreciated, but song that has a lot of personal meaning to me, which is Isn't It a Pity? And I will never forget. I had heard it many times, but one time it really made me cry. It was at a fest. I think it was a Chicago fest, and Neil Innes was there. May have been one of the last ones that he attended before he passed, and he played it on stage. And I think it was shortly after yet another mass shooting. Sadly, I don't remember which one it was. And he got on stage and played this, and I just started tearing up because it's like, wow, you know, this song just resonates no matter what. And sadly, it does. But I mean, these lyrics are just so simple, but they just get right to the point. You know, isn't it a pity? Now, isn't it a shame how we break each other's hearts and cause each other pain, how we take each other's love without thinking anymore, forgetting to give back, isn't it a pity? And then that second verse, some things take so long, but how do I explain when not too many people can see we're all the same? And because of all their tears, their eyes can't hope to see the beauty that surrounds them. Now, isn't it a pity?
Yeah, beautiful.
I mean, my God, you know, I mean, it's just, it's a timeless message. It's poetry, you know, but it's simple. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, it's poetry, but it's straight to the point. I mean, it's speaking for us and to us. And this song never fails to get to me, you know. And I just remembered that particular performance that Neil Innes did. And of course, you know, he's known as a comedian, and, you know, we all remember him fondly from the Ruddles. But when he got up there and did it, and it was after this particular, and as I said, I sadly don't remember which incident it was. And I just thought it spoke so eloquently to that particular instance, and it just showed the timelessness of this song and the timelessness of those words. So that's my first pick.
Well, you made it easier on me. I don't have to read those lyrics when it gets to my turn. I'm going to cross mine off here, and I don't have any extras. So okay. I wrote them all down. I wrote every word down. So that was one of mine. Isn't it? Everything you said goes for me, Kit.
Yeah.
Saved me a lot of trouble.
That's what I'm here for.
All right, Ken, how about you?
It's practically impossible to narrow it down to five. And, you know, I have a feeling that whatever you guys come up with, I could easily have put in there. And isn't it a pity? Definitely lyrically ranks way up there. I love what you said about that, Kit, because it's simple, to the point, and it just hits you in the gut and in the heart. What those words say, because we can all relate to that with our whatever relationships we're going through in life. The first one that I chose is actually one that is a favorite of my wife's. And I've always loved the song, but I love it more because she really loves it. And it's Love Comes to Everyone.
Yeah.
The lyrics of the song, go do it, got to go through that door. There's no easy way out at all. Still, it only takes time till love comes to everyone. For you, who it always seems blue, it all comes, it never rains, but it pours. Still, it only takes time till love comes to everyone. I love the bridge. There in your heart, something that's never changing, always a part of something that's never aging. That's in your heart. It's so true. It can happen to you all. There, knock and it will open wide. And it only takes time till love comes to everyone. I'm sure there's a lot of people in this world who feel that they're never going to find love, but everyone can. And hopefully everyone will. And this is a song of hope. George has had a lot of songs that deal with that have a hopeful message like this one. I just, so many of the words in his songs just flow so well with the melody. And there are certain songs, a few I will point out in my list, that just as lyrics stand as poetry, even if there was no melody to go with it. It's beautiful just as it is. So, but Love Comes to Everyone is definitely one of those for me.
Very good, Ken, and
Beautiful.
that's one of my favorites as well. I'm going to pick one now for mine. It won't be Isn't It a Pity? I'll skip that one. I picked a song from 33 and a Third, and I know I think I've mentioned this when we might have talked about lyrics before. See Yourself. I think that I noticed I as I was thinking of his songs, the ones I was coming upon were ones that were like life lessons on how to be better or improve or something like that. And I really love that song. I love the melody of it. I like the way the words fit it. And I'm going to read some of them, okay? It's not the whole song, but just to give an idea. It's easier to tell a lie than it is to tell the truth. It's easier to kill a fly than it is to turn it loose. It's easier to criticize somebody else than to see yourself. And then another line is, it's easier to give a sigh and be like all the rest who stand around and crucify you while you do your best. It's easier to see the books upon the shelf than to see yourself. That's just a part of it. And, it's so true in a way, George, you're the man as far as lyrics. John Lennon, move over. You know what I mean? So I really love that song, and I like the album. It's one of my favorite George albums too, 33 and a Third. But yeah, so that's me. I'm getting a little emotional.
Well, some of these are a little emotional in a way. I mean, especially if you have a history with them. So
Absolutely.
yeah. All right, now for what I'll call round two. I'll start with Ken this time. Ken, give us another.
Hey, well, you talk about songs of hope. If You Believe is one of them. That's a song that has meant a lot to me because sometimes when I'm really down and I don't like how my life is going and I have a lot of troubles, I play this song and it helps me get through it. The lyrics are, and he wrote this with Gary Wright, by the way. You can worry your life away with not knowing what each new day may bring to you, or take each day as it goes on. Wake up to the love that flows on around you. If you believe in you, everything you thought is possible. If you believe. And I love this particular verse. Too many troubles you can't control to get you falling into the holes they dig for you. Get up, you have all your needs, pray, give up, and it all recedes away from you if you believe. I love the song, I love the melody, I love all the slide guitar work, which I could say about, all of George's songs, but just the message in that song, you have to believe in yourself and don't let the problems of your life get you down and hold you down. And so that song has gotten me through some tough times in my
Yeah,
life.
ditto. I like that. I same thing, and it's such an upbeat, top tempo, optimistic vibe to that song. You know, good one.
Beautiful.
Good one. Okay, Tom, how about you?
Well, I feel like we got some downer lyrics here, or whatever, in a way, but positive, uplifting. I think it's he's all over the spectrum, really. Again, this track, it's sometimes I feel like it's like a Plastic Ono Band song where you got to be in a particular mood to listen to it. And that's just for today. Again, it's a song, whether you're depressed or you're just feeling, sad and lonely, like it says in the lyrics. I mean, I think it's something that you can listen to, that maybe can, help or something. But just for today, I could try to live through this day only, not deal with all life's problems just for today. And then if just for one night I could feel not sad and lonely, not be my own life's problems just for one night. So, when I first heard the song, getting into Cloud Nine, I can't say that I can relate to it because I was only a teenager, but I mean, there's times in your life where you do, you maybe make a mistake and you get into trouble or you get problems and you got no one to blame but yourself, so you really got to look inward and deal with those issues. And sometimes that song can, slap you in the face and just say, hey, look, you got to deal with this,
I think George got that from Alcoholics Anonymous, I think he said, just for today. That's the one day at a time kind of thing, just for today,
That makes sense.
like that, which is, yeah, very, very, very touching and interesting. I feel, who can't relate to somebody at some point in their life, not be my own life's problem, one of them says, right? Like, you sometimes do your own problem, your own worst enemy,
It's very much like a prayer.
All right, Kit, how about you with this one?
All right, I'm gonna brighten up the mood a little bit and one of my all-time favorites of his is Blow Away. And I love the lyrics because, clearly this is actually this is one of those songs that he was such a master at writing that, you could interpret this as a romantic love or a spiritual love. He was so good at this. And, this one, I mean, you could certainly interpret this as talking about, Olivia. Or talking about God, either one. About turning from depression, the first lyrics, certainly, I mean, this is just a great metaphor for, depression. Day turned black, sky ripped apart, rained for a year till it dampened my heart, cracks in the leaks, the floor caught rot, about to go down. I had almost forgot. And then the chorus, all I got to do is to love you. All I got to be is be happy. All it's got to take is some more warmth to make it blow away, blow away, blow away. And I mean the melody of this is just so light, and then as he goes on, then it's like, sky cleared up, day turned to bright, closing both eyes, now the head filled with light, hard to remember what a state I was in. Instant amnesia, yang to the end. I mean, it's
That
just
phrase again, instant amnesia.
exactly instant amnesia. I mean,
Okay.
it's just great. I mean, it's just the perfect description of, trying to, get out of a depression, and whether it's the love spiritually, whether it's the love of a person. I mean, it's just beautiful. And of course, when you listen to the song, I mean the melody and so forth. I mean, you can feel him, his life changing, because of course in real life he really did come out of depression, as we all know. He really did go through a dark time. And so it's one of my all-time favorite songs of his, but the lyrics are just so, so uplifting. I mean, you just feel like you're going through this journey with him.
Yeah, should have been a number one.
It's
I was going to say, I always was disappointed that
absolutely.
wasn't a bigger hit.
It should have been a
So,
much bigger hit, because who can't relate to something like this?
I remember that song when it was on the radio and it was new,
Absolutely, should have been a bigger hit.
In our comments, oh, we have a lot of comments, but Andy Nichols, I guess it is, right? Two legs.
You
He
don't
said so.
need to read that. You don't need to read it because it's going to be coming up soon. Okay.
Oh,
Okay.
well, I have.
Oh, okay.
I would like to learn from that line. The one that he quoted. Is that the one? Everyone, is that the one you're talking
yes,
about?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, I'm going to learn from that one. Yeah. Should I save it?
Yeah, because you know okay. It's my number one.
Right. Oh, okay, we'll save.
Oh, I don't have them in any order, by the way. Yeah. I'm just trying to like. Mix
yeah,
it
I
up.
Don't either.
All right. Well, next one. Try to look for some positives. I don't have many positives in this one. I don't.
Oh, I've got list. Some darker stuff too. Don't worry.
But well, I guess this is kind of pop. But it's, man, I'm gonna go for this one now. Okay, and this is gonna be. There's a lot of lyrics to this song. Okay, it's Any Road.
Yeah.
Oh, that was okay. One of mine.
We're even now. It's a lot to read. I'm gonna try to go fast with it, but. I mean, we're going through the album. I thought about the album Brainwashed, which is always an album that I overlook. Just somehow,
yeah,
because it came out after he passed and everything, you know, right? And I'm thinking to myself, wow, there's a lot of good lyrics on these songs on this album in particular. You know, I'm thinking of all the songs, Rising Sun. I'm thinking of all these songs, and then I say, okay, well, let me stick to Any Road. And there's lots of verses here in this, but I don't have them all written down. So I'm going to read some of them, okay? Me. Here we go. I've been traveling through the dirt and the grime, from the past to the future, through the space and the time. Traveling deep beneath the waves, in watery grottos and mountainous caves. I mean, that's great, by the way. It's so great. I mean, John didn't even do that stuff. So I have to say that. Then we have the middle part. But, oh, Lord, we've got to fight with the thoughts in the head, with the dark and the light. No use to stop and stare. And if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. And then one other little part that I put in, and maybe you have some different stuff, I don't know. But I have, oh yeah, you just don't win. It's so far out, the way out is in. Bow to God and call him sir, but if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. And there's a lot of other, oh, and that whole part too, I don't want to start singing. I feel like these make me want to sing it. You know?
Go ahead, sing.
No.
No,
do that, it. No, that part, I didn't want to do it. I don't remember the words now. I know the words when I hear this song. Anyway, yeah. So yeah, these are emotional for me. These yeah. really are. I mean, I love that song, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that album, Brainwashed. It's becoming close to my top George albums lately.
Mm-hmm.
I overlooked it too long, I think, sometimes, you know. Mm-hmm. Yep. So that's that for me. All mm-hmm. right, and now I'm going to turn my list back here because I got to see where I'm at as far as orders. Kit, I'm going to put you first mm-hmm. this time.
Let's see. Okay.
The next round.
All right. Well, let's see. Okay. Or Tom, did you go?
No, this is the third round. So it's your first
third round.
Okay, just wanted to make
starting
sure.
Starting fresh.
Okay, just making sure everybody went. All right. Okay, let's do an example of his humor. dark humor and we'll go to the Cloud Nine album. I always enjoyed Devil's Radio. I've always enjoyed that, particularly it kind of personal meaning for me because one of my favorite teachers, she was my fourth and sixth grade teacher, and she really was the one who encouraged me to write, and so she was always close to my heart, and she always said in class, gossip kills. She was always a big thing about you.
Doesn't it?
Gossip. Yes, and it does. And she was right. And so when this song, when I bought this album and I heard Devil's Radio, I always think of Mrs. Hammond. You know, I'm like, oh man, this song's for her. And so, yeah, this song is basically about gossip killing. And man, I mean, his lyrics are just so vivid. You know, I heard it in the night, words that thoughtless speak like vultures swooping down below on the devil's radio. And then, of course, the chanting of gossip in the back. I love this. He's in the clubs and bars and never turns it down, talking about what he don't know on the devil's radio. And I love the bridge. It's white and black like industrial waste, pollution of the highest degree. You wonder why I don't hang out much. I wonder how you can't see. And I mean, I just love, oh, and the other line I love, it's all across our lives like a weed it's spread until nothing else has space to grow. The devil's radio and creep up in the dark, make us hide behind shades and buzzing like a dynamo, the devil's radio. Ooh, I
George,
love it. You
genius.
know, people are saying in the comments, I love bitchy George. I do too. I love pissed off George. I call it that too. And this is a great example. I mean, this is just, I love this, this viciousness about, decrying gossip. He obviously hated it. He was such a private person. And this was his manifesto,
Yeah,
against
great.
it. I love this song. And this is just a terrific example of when, he was having fun with words and images, but it had a point.
Oh no, amen, amen.
Yep.
I can't say it any better myself. I
Yeah.
love that song. It's not. It almost. It would have made my list. Honestly, I felt like somebody was definitely gonna have it. That's the reason I didn't do it. But I love it. I love the song. And again, there's another one that you don't say George rocks out that much, But that's for him. That's kind of rockier.
It is. Oh, and
It's up
Elton
to
John's
me.
piano.
That's
Oh, just makes it
it.
even better. Yep.
All right, so I'm gonna go next with Ken this
Okay,
round.
just want to say Devil's Radio, excellent choice. Now you think about all that George went through with the Beatles on his own, all that's been written about in the media, all the gossip, all the rumors. Who would know better?
Exactly.
There's so much inaccuracy that's out there about things that get in print or that the media report about. So yeah.
That soul betraying so and so, isn't that one of the lyrics? That
Yes.
soul betraying so and
Yep.
so.
Yep. Exactly.
Well, I happen to love every side of George Harrison, and I love the philosophical side. And one particular favorite of mine lyrically is "Circles." Even though it was an older song that he brought back, it's got a beautiful melody, and I love the arrangement of what he did on the Gon Trapo album. And I'll read the lyrics to you. Friends come and friends go as I go round and round in circles. Love someone, change your mind, decide he was a swine as you go round and round in circles. He who knows does not speak, he who speaks does not know, and I go round in circles. Some lines you can relate to here. Dislike someone who will not bend, later they may become your best friend. Life, it goes around in circles. Let's see. Soul takes on a body. With each birth, we make our date. With life and death along the road, the soul reincarnates. The show goes round and round in circles. The last few lines are really powerful. When loss and gain and up and down becomes the same, then we stop going in circles, round and round in circles. So it's all about the cycle of life and how things change. And just like in the lyrics, someone could be your best friend one minute, they could become your enemy next, and then back to being your best friend. You could be experiencing something really good in life, and then something really rotten happens to you, and then back to good again. But in the end, looking back on it all, it's all the same. When it all becomes the same, you just realize it's kind of like the words in All Things Must Pass as well. This is all part of life, good and bad. Keep it level, because we all go through it. And just the realization of that. It's brilliant words, simple words that really speak the truth right there. It's like the wisdom of someone who's a very old man looking back on his life and going through all these experiences, sharing it with us, and realizing that everything is the same, the good and the bad. It's all part of everything.
In circle. Circle. Okay, Ken. Thank you very much,
Like
sir.
it.
All right. Tom, you're up next.
Yeah, all right, I'm gonna do this, and then I have to leave for a few minutes and make an emergency phone call. So,
Oh,
due to
okay.
excuse
Oh,
my
sure.
absence for a brief moment. But
All right.
I like this one because it's he's again he's talking about himself here, just being kind of creative while doing it. And it's, you know, I guess the, if you want to call it the sequel to While My Guitar Gently Weeps, it's the song This Guitar Can't Keep From Crying. Yeah. And it's the, I love the line, this here guitar can feel quite sad, can be high strung, which is brilliant. Brilliant. Sometimes get mad. It can't understand or deal with hate, responds much better to love. And I really appreciate that. The high strung part, I mean, obviously that can deal with you. And then obviously with the guitar, I think he was brilliant for fitting that into the song. But talking about himself during this whole 74 tour fiasco with him getting all this bad press and whatnot just during that whole time, and just pouring his heart out in a song, but just using his guitar as the main narrative. But again, not the best George Harrison song in my opinion, but some really good lyrics in there.
I really like that song. I wish it was a little longer sometimes. I mean, usually George's songs are plenty long, but this one, and there's a line in there too about what you were talking about with the bad press and everything. Isn't it something like, learn to get up when I fall, can even climb rolling stone walls.
Yeah, meaning Rolling Stone magazine.
That's great. Yeah. You know, oh man, I get goosebumps.
All right. But I'll be back, guys.
All right.
Away, we can read Andy's comment.
Yeah.
No, we're going to save that. We're going to save that, right?
There you go.
All right. So, it's funny. You know, that was from Extra Texture, that song. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I always put Extra Texture down, you know, because it's not one of my favorite George albums. But I do love that song. Mm-hmm. That's the thing about it, though. I like the first three songs on the album. I like very much. It's just the rest of it I don't like. Mm-hmm. So it's like, what do you do when you really like the first three?
That song almost made my list.
And there's a song, led into it, you know, there's a song that I like from there, among the first three, Answers at the End.
Yeah.
You know, and again, this is like philosophy and all this kind of stuff and trying to be, you know, I guess, be better. The line I like says, scan not a friend with a microscopic glass. You know his faults, now let his foibles pass. Mm-hmm. Life is one long enigma, my friend. So read on. The answer's at the end. And then he goes on to sing that, I guess, that the chorus of, don't be so hard on the ones that you love. It's the ones that you love we think so little of. You know, that and et cetera, et cetera. But it says so much to me, you know, that song. I really love the first three songs, and that's number two, I believe, the second song on the album. Mm-hmm. So that's for me. I was gonna have Tom go first in the next round, but I'll wait for that. Mm-hmm. And Kid, I'll start with you.
Okay, let's see, which one do I want to do? I think I will do, I guess I'll keep it with Solo. I love Life Itself. I think that's really an underrated song of his, and I think the lyrics are just beautiful. Of course, this is his spiritual side, and we've been talking, you know, a bit about that, and you know, some examples of more spiritual lyrics, and I just think this is, you know, a prayer, really. So, let me bring Tom back in. Hang on a second. So this is just an example of, you know, very simple, you know, very simple, very straightforward, but you know, you are the one, you are my love. You send the rain and bring the sun. You stand alone and speak the truth. You are the breath of life itself. Oh, yes, you are. And then later on the bridge, you are the one that I die for, and you are all that is real. You are the essence of that which we taste, touch, and feel. I just think Oh, and You Are My Friend, and When Life's Through, You Are the Life and Death Itself. Yes, you are the one. It's just as I said, it's almost a prayer,
Yeah.
even more than a song. And
It's like a
it's
love
just,
song. It could be a love song to
yeah.
someone, but it's the love song to, I guess, the higher
Higher
power,
power, exactly. And it's,
creator.
yeah, exactly.
And
And
all
it's
the
just,
different names
it could be.
that they call him.
Exactly. It can, and that's again, he was so good at this, that he was able to write in a universal way, that it could be whatever, whatever your religion is, or if you're just spiritual in general, whatever it is, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful song. And as I said, it could be a prayer, or it could be, as you said, it could be even, a romantic in a way. It could be, just someone you love. It's, as I said, it's fairly simple. I mean, this isn't a case where, we've talked about his play on words and his vivid images and all. This is more straightforward. A little bit of poetic license here, but this is fairly simple. But as I said, more of a prayer, but it's just so beautiful. And I've just always loved this song.
Me too. I liked it from back in 81. I liked that so
Yeah.
much. I don't think that Somewhere in England is among his best,
No.
I enjoy it though. I think we did a show on this one, another
Yes.
list,
Right. Yeah. This is
which
one of the highlights for sure.
I think that's the album's a little underrated. That doesn't mean I think it's among his best, but I enjoy it. It's
Yeah.
okay. So Tom, is everything okay now that you're back and you want to take a shot here next?
I mean, my wonderful two legs co-host is stealing all my thunder here in the comments section. So,
Yeah, well, that's where
I
you get
mean,
your ideas from, Andy, huh? You're copying Andy.
no. I'm the idea. I'm the idea. No.
We know that. And
Yeah,
on
I
top of
know.
it, you stole the idea from me.
Yeah. No. Anyways, we'll go with Waiting on You All next. I'm fascinated by higher power, religion, and all that stuff. I like learning about it. I like to hear people's philosophy on it. And this is one that one of his ones that he talks about it in song that I appreciate. You don't need a love-in. You don't need a bedpan, and you don't need a love-in. I wonder how did has John ever come out and said, what are you doing? I mean, kind of like, like how he did with Ram, where he said, "Well, that whole album's about me."
I don't.
I never heard him come out and
Yeah, you do
say
that.
George,
Yeah.
that whole song's about me then, or whatever. But
No.
you don't need a horoscope or a microscope, which I love that to combine to see the mess that you're in. If you open up your heart, you know what I mean. You've been polluted so long. Now there's a way for you to get clean. And then the line that's the most interesting line is the one that, capital EMI, they leave out of the lyrics. And that's, while the Pope owns 51% of General Motors and the stock exchange is the only thing he's qualified to quote us, which is a real dig into, the whole Catholic belief in everything. And I tried to look up some research on this and to see if there's any anything factual to that. And I don't know if we'll ever, find anything that is factual about that, or if he knew that, or why he wrote it. Be frankly, but again, talking about religion and different religions and what he, became to believe, and then what he believes about other religions. I mean, that's quite fascinating how he would, do such a dig on that particular religion.
But after all is said and done, I would like to just take a line from there. The Lord is waiting on you all to awaken and see. I can't believe my voice is.
But yeah, I mean, it's a fascinating lyrically, with that one, especially with that the whole Pope thing. But
Yes, that's a good line. It's a good,
yeah.
great line. All right, I'm gonna
Bold.
do.
Bold
I'm
position.
gonna
What's that,
do.
Ken? What, Ken? That's a
Sorry.
very bold position
Yeah.
in sharing his views here on All Things Must Pass,
Definitely.
right?
With all the
Yeah.
religious beliefs that he has and Eastern philosophy and all.
Right.
He has been
Oh,
critical of the Catholic faith.
a lot of times you needed you know, to me anyway. You needed the lyrics though, because I mean I couldn't really tell what he was saying on that song for a long time. I love the new the new mix of that. I could really hear more what he's saying.
Yeah,
that's what. But a lot of times on a lot of those songs, I like that I could read the words. Although that part that Tom said was, you know, that wasn't really included that line, right?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to do one of my favorite lines here from, again, Back to Extra Texture, the album that I'm always maligning. It's Can't Stop Thinking About You. it's a joke that I always... I'm not serious.
Where has the time gone?
Can't Stop Thinking About.
I knew you were going to do that.
Thinking about me. No, I'm just having fun. That's all.
I love George.
So that was just a joke. Okay. All right. Now let's get serious. Ken, you're up.
Okay. One of my choices here is kind of unusual because it's kind of a, you know, pretty negative song here. But I've grown to really love this song over, you know, in recent years more than ever. And it's Run of the Mill.
Yeah.
Yep. Now, if you follow what George said in his book, I Mean Mine, it was all about the problems that he was going through at Apple, that nobody was getting along and disagreeing with each other. Although most people tend to think that this was really written about Paul alone. Mm. I can understand when you read the lyrics that it could very well be. But I love this. Like I said, there are certain lyrics that stand by themselves without even having to be. But the melody itself and the whole arrangement of it is just so different. There's no other song that sounds like Run of the Mill to me.
Yeah.
But he's kind of like, if you think about him addressing this to Paul, the lyrics are very interesting. But even anybody else saying this to a friend or someone that they're having a problem with.
Yep.
Does everyone has choice when to and not or not to raise their voices? It's you that decides which way you will turn while feeling that our love's not your concern. It's you that decides. No one around you will carry the blame for you. No one around you will love you today and throw it all away. Tomorrow when you rise, another day for you to realize me. Or send me down again.
Yeah.
As the days stand up on end, you've got me wondering how I lost your friendship. But I see it in your eyes. Though I'm beside you, I can't carry the blame for you. I may decide to get out with your blessing where I'll carry on guessing. How high will you leap? Will you make enough for you to reap it? Only you'll arrive at your own made end with no one but yourself to be offended. It's you that decides.
Ooh. So,
you know, you could say this is kind of vicious in a way, but... I love the way these words flow so well. You know, they roll off your tongue. And even if it is, you know, an angry song believed to be about Paul, I like the words.
Yeah.
They work as poetry. And yes, it's negative. You know, I mean, John said that How Do You Sleep was still a great piece of work, even though we know that it was written about Paul. So he also said it could be about him. But I just love that song for so many reasons. And I think the fact, the overall melody of it and arrangement of it, the way the whole thing is structured, I just find it a really fascinating song. And I do love the words to it.
The horns in the song are fantastic as well.
They make a big difference.
Yeah.
In the overall arrangement, although I love the demo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love every version of the song.
Yeah, Tom, well, that was going to be, that's one of your picks. That's your number one, right?
Well, yeah, but I mean, I'm glad Ken picked it because.
No, but I mean, I'm just trying to segue you in there if you want to add it this time, you know.
No, I mean, listen, I mean, he said every line that I agree with you 100% about. It might be a negative song, but I mean, it doesn't necessarily have when you're listening to it, and if you're a Beatle junkie, yeah, okay, he's talking about the business, maybe the Paul, but it's more than just that. I mean, it can relate to anybody who doesn't even know the Beatles. I mean, they can listen to that song and say, hey, look, I can relate to that song, you know, and it doesn't necessarily, I mean, it's just the cherry or the frosting on the cake or whatever for us, because we kind of know what, you know, who he's singing about or what he's singing about. But the fact is that a great song is a great song, no matter what the connection is. You know, again, it might be negative, but for the person he's singing about, but it can be uplifting for you, you know, as somebody that realizes, you know, who you're dealing with, or you understand that maybe this person is toxic and I need to get away from these people, right. You know, so I think it's a brilliant song. It might be my favorite George song lyrically, so it's great.
You put it in the context of George's struggle within the Beatles,
yeah,
John and Paul, to really appreciate him, you know, yeah. Another day for you to realize me,
right,
set me down again,
yeah,
that's those thoughts enter my brain when I hear those words, because I think that's what he's saying,
right. I mean, especially during that whole Let It Be, or, you know, the Get Back, Let It Be, that January of 69. I mean, it's really, when we watch it, I mean, it's really the John and Paul, you know, show. And, you know, maybe he felt like he wasn't getting the respect he deserved. But that could be for us, too. I mean, maybe we feel we're around people and we don't get the respect we deserve. And, you know, and then you put lyrics like this down and, you know, maybe it makes you feel better.
We all have people in our lives that don't appreciate us for some reason.
Yeah.
So we can all relate to that song.
Right.
Yeah. And the title is interesting too, Run of the Mill, you know, when you think about it. It's nothing like that in the song, right? The words Run of the Mill is not in the song.
Right.
Which is interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. For what I have here as the last round, I thought I would just go first for this one. I wanted to put a Beatles song in there from George. You know, there's a lot of obvious ones, you know. I mean, Something, Here Comes the Sun, etc., While My Guitar Gently Weeps. I thought I would take one that I know everybody knows. Everybody knows the Beatles, right? But Think for Yourself, the song Think for Yourself. Again, here's one about hope and self-improvement and all that kind of stuff. I guess that's where my head is at right now, right? It says, you know, that line that goes, although your mind's opaque, try thinking more if just for your own sake. The future still looks good and you've got time to rectify all the things that you should. Get me a Jersey Mike sandwich. No, that's
just... that lyric, Joe.
I added that one.
He was really ahead of his time too, because I don't think Jersey Mike was around that.
He was predicting what. I mean, there's a lot of it. I don't just mean in that way. There's so many other things we always have to. There's life, there's hope. You know, there's always time to rectify. Well, you got to move fast. In a way, but you still got time. So even that's all I have on that one. But I wanted to like, you know, come up with a Beatles one too, from George. So I decided to do that little bit. And back to the other page. I have next.
Is that on the best of George Harrison? Think for Yourself.
Yes.
Like so.
Yeah.
It is.
Yep. It was on there.
All right. Let's go with Ken.
Okay, well, actually, one of my five was one that you mentioned, Joe, and that's The Answer Is at the End.
Oh.
Because it's basically about, don't be so judgmental of people around you. Don't be so critical. And you read all the words in there, but, you know, again, he's being very preachy, but in a helpful way. You know, even Think for Yourself is preachy. No way. Yeah. Didn't just start with his solo career there. But yeah, I love all the lyrics in there, the ones that you mentioned. Scan not a friend with a microscopic glass. You know his faults, now let his foibles pass. Life is one long enigma, my friend. So read on, the answer's at the end. You know, it's a simple message, but really true. We're all at times judgmental of other people. And so here's George giving us some advice to not be that way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Learn from George.
And the answer's at the end. Mm. We'll find. All right, Kit, your turn.
All right. Well, I too, like you, Joe, decided to go with a Beatles song for a final one. But also, like you, I didn't want to go with the obvious. So, you know, let's face it, we all know something. Here Comes the Sun, While My Guitar Gently Weeps. All the great songs. I mean, we all know those are masterworks of composition. So, but wanted to do something a little different. I thought we.
You like me too much, and I like you. I really
That's
do.
That's right.
But I do love that song. I yep. do. I really do.
Yep, absolutely. Think for Yourself was a finalist. So I didn't pick that one, but that was a finalist. I've always liked the lyrics to Love You Too. I've always thought those were kind of fascinating. You know, sort of, live for the now and don't get... you know, caught up as he sings, you don't get time to hang a sign on me, you know? Each day just goes so fast. I turn around, it's past. You don't get time to hang a sign on me. Love me while you can before I'm a dead old man. I mean, it's, you know, let's, you know, live for now because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. It's a lifetime is so short. A new one can't be bought. And I love the line toward the end. There's people standing around who screw you in the ground. They'll fill you up. They'll fill you in with all their sins. You'll see. I mean, you know, I just thought particularly that line. I mean, for 1966, you know, the people standing around who screw you in the ground. I mean, I just thought, man, that's a really aggressive kind of line.
Somebody was 23, right? About something like that.
Yeah. I mean, and so, you know, just to say, you know, don't let people define you. Don't let people, fill you with their sins. Don't let them, you know, to plan out your life, to define, you know, tell you what to do. This is, you know, you only get one lifetime. So, do what you want to do.
Do what you want.
Now we're back to think for yourself.
No, you but go.
That
think
is
for yourself
incredible.
Part two.
I mean, as I said at the beginning of the show, I said, you know, I mean, I you would think all these decades. I mean, I know that I like a lot of George songs, a lot of George lyrics, but it's hitting me more than ever with this exercise. I'm saying, I have to really put George up higher than I ever have before. You know,
yeah, absolutely. And incidentally, he would come back kind of to this theme with, in my opinion, one of his great lost songs, The Flying Hour, because he would, you know, he would go back to that, that theme of, you know, don't dwell on the past, don't obsess about the future, live for today. I mean, it was kind of the same idea. So he definitely, he thought about this for a long time, this whole idea of you know, don't squander your life, just live for now.
Yeah.
I find that this is not just with George, but with a lot of artists, and especially the Beatles. You get so caught up in the melody and the catchiness of the songs that you don't sometimes pay attention to the lyrics and how deep they are. And like you were saying, Kit, with Blow Away.
Yeah.
You know, to me, that was a top 40 happy-go-lucky song. You know,
exactly. Well, but when you pay attention to the lyrics,
yeah, a lot deeper than you realize.
Yep, exactly.
Very misleading. So,
I think all because I would have had another pick, but I mean, I only had the five, and I had Isn't It a Pity would have been a final one for me. But I do have another one that I consider to be as a runner up. Really, a lot of philosophy. I think it's philosophical, you know, and it's good advice. Let's see. Ring out the old, ring in the new. Ring out the old, ring in the new. Ring out the false. No, I'm just ding dong, ding dong. I'm just having fun.
I actually love that line: "Ring out the false, ring in the true." I love that.
Yeah, this is true, and it's not false. But I guess anybody else.
Yeah, you can't. I wish I was a pirate.
Yeah. I definitely think among the Beatles songs, if you just want to, obviously, like Kit said, Something Here Comes the Sun, and While My Guitar Gently Weeps, I think Taxman is brilliant.
Yes.
Yeah. And so it's, I told you, that's sarcastic, too. That's that sarcasm of George.
Now, my advice for those who died, declare the pennies on your eyes. Absolutely. You know, again, 23 years old, he's writing these words. Not exactly what you would hear at a top 40 record, you know. Within You, Without You is so brilliant.
Yeah. Again,
yes.
20, 23, 24 years old writing that.
Absolutely.
Amazing stuff. This Agnes.
Hmm.
So are there runner other choices? I mean, we don't, everybody had some runner ups. Have you seen runner ups?
Another one for me that was co-written with Bob Dylan was I'd Have You Anytime.
Yeah, yes.
I just, that is gorgeous. And even though it was, you know, I guess it was about their sort of about their friendship, I think that works as a love song too. I mean, you know, let me in here. I know I've been here. Let me into your heart. Let me know you. Let me show you. Let me roll it to you. I mean, when I first heard that, when, you know, I was a teenage girl and I was first hearing all things was passing and it starts with that and that, you know, beautiful steel guitar and he's singing that. I thought, ooh, you know, I'd hit puberty by that time. You know, I thought that's all right. You know, if a guy sang that to me, I'd you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Boy.
All right.
I'm getting a little hot under the collar here.
Exactly. That's a good love song, too.
Yeah, I mean, Cockamamie Business, you know, Wreck of the Hesperus, you know, I mean, stuff like that, you know, Blood from a Clone. I mean, there's a lot of stuff where he's either being goofy or he's singing about the business or whatnot. I love all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cracker Box Palace.
Yeah. Yes. Cracker Box Palace.
Now, am I making a mistake here? I don't believe I've heard a single line from Living in the Material World.
Well, I could easily.
I was like, wait a minute.
I could put. See, the point that is, I devour The Light That Has Lighted the World. It's one of my favorite songs from George.
Yeah.
But that song and Who Can See It lyrically are saying the exact same message. So they're kind of tied together lyrically about accepting yourself as you are. You know, you go through changes in life and there are people that can't adapt to it. But he's grateful for the people that do. So, but I love lyrically those two songs a lot, very much so, because it tells you a lot about where his head was at that time. Even though The Light That Has Lighted the World was originally written for Cilla Black.
All right.
So, but I was also going to say All Things Must Pass, which I'm kind of surprised none of you mentioned.
Yeah.
I guess I thought about it. I thought, maybe that's too obvious. I don't know. But of course.
And of course, Sue Me, Sue You Blues is in that category of, you know, George's, like, I don't know, nasty, tongue-in-cheek type of humorous thing. Yeah.
Thing Stuck like Inside that. A Cloud would have been one for me, too, if we did a top 10.
Thought about that.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the end of the line right now. I think right here. I think we should be heading for the. I gotta save that to the end.
Ooh. Oh, what no, no, say? Yeah. Don't say it. Don't say it.
I gotta use that. All right. So that's it. All right. So that was it for this particular show. But there's more stuff we gotta talk about, as we always do, such as, for example, where to reach us if you want to reach us. A kid always is so good at handling. So it's easy on me.
Yeah, that's right. There you go. Well, first of all, thanks everybody for tuning in tonight. There are a lot of great, great songs in the comments. And thank you so much for sharing your thoughts and your picks for your favorite lyrics. Please keep them coming in the comments. We do read your comments. And if you have further comments, of course, you can email us at talkmoresolotalk@gmail.com if you have feedback, ideas for future topics. We're always open to ideas. Please subscribe to this channel. Hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. And tell your friends, tell your neighbors, and so forth about this show. And everyone who is a new subscriber, thank you very much. And we can't do this show without the support of you guys out there. Thank you so much. And you can also find us on Facebook. Please like the page, and you will be informed of any new episodes. And we're always posting some stuff on the page. As well, so you can be up to date on news and so forth. You can find us on Twitter at TalkMoreTalk1. That's the number one. And you can find us on the web at TalkMoreTalk.com. I think that's everywhere you can find us. Oh, and you can find the audio version of this show if you prefer to just listen. You can find us on virtually any podcasting platform you can think of, iTunes, Google, Amazon, you name it.
Okay, and let's see now what we're up to. As usual for me, I'm not up to anything per se, except my
That's not
channel, my
true.
usual channel. I don't have any of that to do. I just my channel is Mean Mr. Mayo. Please subscribe to my YouTube channel. I did a rant video today. It's nothing to do with anything about certain live stream etiquette. How's that? If you want to, that Beatles related or anything like that,
And if you
but.
like movies, go to my YouTube
Oh,
channel.
yeah. If you like movies, go to my channel on movies. It's called, what is it this week, Tom? Mr. Mayo's Movies. That's this week's title. And as I say, I don't have anything. I don't have any shows planned. I'm not going on any guested anywhere. I don't have any interviews or anything right now. So that's it. But there's a lot of stuff on
He
those two
will.
channels. You could have a ball. How's that?
Yes, there you
So
go.
check that out. And then let's go around. Let's start. How about Kit? What are
Oh,
you up to? What are you up to?
all right. Well, the two new episodes of Toppermost of the Poppermost dropped on February 29th. Yes, February 29th, leap day, my 13th birthday, and do the math. So,
I know you.
it is,
You're
we're getting into,
13.
yep, oh, thank you. Thank you very much. We're getting into February 1964. We're going to be dropping a lot more episodes because, boy, do we have a lot to cover now with particularly the American charts. We're recording the March 1964 episodes right now. So you can find the new episodes on, of course, the Talk More Talk, or Talk, well, yes, Talk More Talk page. I do post them there. You can also find them on the Toppermost of the Poppermost. Facebook page. You can find them at toppermostofthepoppermost.net. So do check us out. We really have a lot of fun doing these shows. We talk not only about the Beatles singles that are on the charts, but we talk about other artists that are on at the time, their connections to the Beatles, whether they're direct connections or they influence the Beatles. We just have a blast with this. And Ken, we've got to get you on a show in the future because this is all the
Yes.
charts. This is your up your alley.
Only two of us in this group were around in February of 1964, so
That's right. So yes, we've got to get you on a show in the future. So look for those, and I think that's about it right now. So just really busy doing this show and those shows for the time being.
Shoo-wee. What about you, Thomas?
All right, well, for the two legs world, we dropped a new show last week, and we just talked about the All the Best compilation record, the US version, the UK version, our experiences with that album, growing up with it, all that stuff. So check that out. This week, I don't know why I'm going to kind of jinx it or anything, but we do have an interview with the editor of this magazine, the Paul McCartney, the Record Collector Presents, all dealing with Paul McCartney's solo career. So we're really looking forward to that. And again, don't want to get too excited because, sometimes, when you plan interviews with people overseas, sometimes you know, things happen. But we got it booked, and we're really excited to talk to Darryl about the magazine. And we got, you know, a whole bunch of more shows coming up. But we also got T-shirts. We got swag. If you want, you know, we got a black T-shirt with the white logo for two legs. And hopefully one day we're going to get some Talk More Talk T-shirts as well. And maybe we can premiere that at the fest in August.
That's my hope.
But yeah, see, there you go, Joe. Thank you very much. That's the Two Legs T-shirt right there. And if you want one, you know, email us at twolegspodcast@gmail.com, and we'll hook you up. So that's and thank you to all the new subscribers. Thank you for everybody that's subscribing. We're getting close to 2K, so really appreciate everybody out there listening and watching, and or however you listen or watch our show. We really appreciate it. So good on you.
I'm gonna take my little page out of your book. I like the way you work there. Next time I'm gonna you know, talk up my channel a little more like that. It's a good idea. It's good. Ken, how about you? Wait a minute.
First of all, I gotta say, you're a funny man there, Joe. You got nothing going on.
Well, I try to be.
What's going on? You're on the air every day on
I am?
Yeah.
I never knew you knew. I never see you come up or anything.
Yeah, you gotta get up there.
You gotta invite me on your show.
Just go, well, so that's for the actual shows, yes. Mm-hmm. For the shows like Fab Gab and things like that, which I got to do a Fab Gab episode. People have been asking me, when's it? Somebody asked me here.
In the comments, somebody mentioned it.
He said, when is the next Fab Gab? Got to do it. So I'll do it. I promise I'm going to do it. Yeah, Ken, okay. I don't want to take your time.
Mm-hmm. If anyone wants to get in touch with me directly, my email address is everylittlething@att.net. On my YouTube channel, I just did my second interview with Laurie Kay. Laurie Kay worked for the RKO Radio Network, and she, along with Dave Sholin, did the last interview with John Lennon, which was on December 8th, 1980, at the Dakota with Yoko. This is Laurie Kay's brand new book. It tells her whole story. Joe has it too. She's had a long career in radio, also in television and in film. Besides interviewing John and Yoko, she first interviewed George Harrison, then George Martin, then Paul McCartney and Wings, and that led to that interview with John and Yoko. So we talk about all those interviews in the interview that we did, and also some other important parts of her career, working with Dick Clark, for example, other people that she's interviewed, the Talking Heads, the Ramones, that kind of stuff. And that's on my YouTube channel called Ken Michaels Radio. Please subscribe to the channel. Things we said today, things have been finally coming to life once again.
You're back.
As I mentioned before, Alan Kozin has been very busy with Adrian Sinclair, writing volume 2 of the McCartney Legacy. He finished writing it. They finished editing it. But as I said earlier, December 10th is the release date. As Alan explained to me, a lot of changes could be made throughout the year. They could add more stuff. They could edit more stuff. They got to get clearances for the photos that are in the book. But anyway, because of that, we didn't have any show in January, as much as we wanted to do a 60th anniversary show of the Beatles' arrival in America. But we just did it when we came back with Al Sussman and Bruce Spizer. It was a great show. And to have Al and Bruce and Alan, first generation fans who remember 1964, far better than I would. I was yay tall about.
No, you're older than me then.
So we did a show on that. And because of the fact that we didn't have any shows in January and up until the first half of February, about then, we had to catch up on all the news. So there's a lot of stuff that we covered there, a lot of which you heard at the beginning of this show, and there's more. In fact, it's an entire show of news. We're going to have another show coming either next week or in 2 weeks, which is our panel from the fest, which Andy Nichols, Tom's partner there on Two Legs, was nice enough to record. We're going to post that. And that was our show dealing with the different locations that Paul McCartney recorded in the 70s with Wings. So that's all coming very soon. My show, Every Little Thing, my radio show, which Joe was talking about earlier that he's been enjoying lately, my syndicated radio show. You can hear archival shows of that on WFDU's website, Fairleigh Dickinson University in New Jersey. Go to WFDU.fm, and they post the last 2 weeks of shows that they aired on their FM station. There on the website. Go to WFDU.fm, look up archival shows, type in Every Little Thing. The last two shows will be there. There's a brand new show that I just recorded. It's actually one that I think is one of my best. It includes a whole set of earlier takes of Beatle and solo Beatle songs. There's a tribute to Gary Wright in there, Billy J. Kramer's new song. He has a new album coming out. He told me in April it should be out. That's in there. Fernando Perdomo, who just released an all instrumental album of Beatles songs. He plays all the instruments, got his excellent version of Yes It Is in there. That's all on the new show. And you can find that on, it should be one of the archival shows on WFDU's website. Okay. And don't forget my own website, kenmichaelsradio.com, where you've got Beatles trivia. Since we've been late to the game with George Harrison here for his birthday, I have a George Harrison trivia question for his birthday on my website. And I'm giving away a t-shirt from Madeline Beccaro's book on Yoko Ono, nice. In Your Mind. Those of you
I'm trying to get my t-shirt, I'm showing t-shirts today. God, I can't get it.
That's a cool shirt.
Okay, so if you want to win that, there you go.
Upside down and right side up.
So if you'd like to win that, that's one of the many prizes you can win on my trivia site. It's lots of great books: the McCartney Legacy, Ken Womack's book on Mal Evans, a lot of great stuff on my website. So please check that out, kenmichaelsradio.com.
There we go.
Very nice.
All right. Thank you, Ken. Well, that's the end of the line, as they said on the Traveling Wilburys. So we'll see you again next time. And for Kid O'Toole, Ken Michaels, and Tom Hunyadi, this is Joe Mayo saying, now that we're done with the show, now there's nothing in the way to stop me. Heading for the light.
Yay!
Mary. Night, everybody.
Did any rope get you to the end of the line?
Any rope. Talk.